Natural Solutions with Dr. J, your source for time-tested and cutting-edge natural medicine approaches to optimize your health, with your host, Dr. J. Sordian. In this episode, we are going to have a reading of one of the chapters out of Superbrain, Maximize Your Brain Health for a Better Life. Okay, so this is Dr. J. I'm very excited to have a guest on the podcast today. My good friend and Earlham College alumni, Phil Auerbach. And Phil has a really amazing lifelong compendium of experiences in a wide variety of different arenas. So here we are in Berkeley, and I met Phil after he spent the whole day doing a transcendental meditation workshop, which he has been doing for a number of years. How long have you been doing those?
I think it's been 47 or 48 years.
Wow.
Well, the meditation, not the retreats.
No, not the retreats.
Yeah.
And so this is part of your health regimen or part of your sanity regimen or something?
Very good. Sanity. Stress release regimen.
Stress release. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so what's
stress management regimen.
Stress management, yeah. And so do you do it every day or?
You're supposed to do it twice a day for 20 minutes, generally in the morning and in the evening. So I normally do it once a day, which is not right, but that's what that's the pattern that I started.
A particular time of the day?
Yeah, in the morning after I wake up, and then I should do it in the afternoon before dinner, before a meal. But it could be at lunch, it could be before dinner, it doesn't matter, but it needs to be before a meal.
Before a meal, that's
before
interesting,
a meal.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so that, because when the body, a meal makes the body heavy and the metabolism, you know, slow down or speed up or something, but in meditation, the metabolism slows down, it dramatically slows down, so you can't have a meal in your stomach to counteract what the meditation is doing.
Huh. Is there some kind of, how would you explain why that happened?
Why what happens?
Why the metabolism slows down, and what's it do to
the It's one of the
system?
Benefits of meditation, of transcendental meditation, this kind, yeah. There are many benefits to it. This is one of them. The metabolism slows. Which is harder when you get to be over 40, because then the body metabolism naturally slows, and then it's worse, not worse, it slows even more with TM, which means that it's easy for men to get fat.
If you do fat, TM.
Because the metabolism gets slower, yes. So you don't burn it off as fast.
Are there any techniques that they teach to speed up the metabolism when you're not slowing it down?
You're not supposed to speed it up. It just naturally slows. But it's also good because the aging process also slows. So there are a lot of medical benefits to it. One of them is, in general, the aging process slows.
And this has been like scientifically studied.
Oh yeah, it's been scientifically studied.
Who started this?
Well, it's been in India for, you know, generations, hundreds of years, if not more. But it was brought to the West by a man named Maharishi Mahesh Yogi.
That's what I thought. I was thinking, and there's a big university in
Fairfield, Iowa.
Iowa,
I think.
Right.
I think it's Fairfield, Iowa.
Yeah,
where basically the trainers are taught.
Right. Yeah, and a lot of the research has been done there.
And the research
on metabolism.
Either it's been done there or it was done before. I don't know. But when it was brought to this country, there was a lot of research already done.
Ah, okay.
And then some, you know, has been done since then. And it has medical benefits also. So in general, if you have, not always, but if you have a disease, if you have certain kinds of migraines, if you have a phobia, in most cases, if you meditate, then that gradually dissipates, that goes away.
That's interesting. And is there some explanation?
Because meditation basically reduces stress in your system, and a lot of these phobias and dis-ease is diseases.
Dis-ease, exactly. Yeah.
Are caused by stress, and there can be other reasons too. But very often, stress is a common component.
No doubt.
So.
No doubt.
by releasing the stress or eliminating the stress, then the diseases get to be cured.
Or at least eliminating the stress response.
The stress response,
the physiological stress response, because a lot of stressors are still going to be there.
Yes. Excuse me.
Not a problem. I know that you have a little bit of cold or something like that. So. That's fascinating. So you have found that also to be the case for you?
As
far as reducing stress.
In general, reducing stress responses, and certainly reducing the aging process, which is great. I've got gray hair, but the rest of me is in pretty good shape for being 65.
We're both same age.
Yes. What other kinds of things? I never had any diseases that I needed to get rid of. So that was never an issue, but one of the benefits of meditation is you can become much more creative when in the process of doing a meditation twice a day, once a day or twice a day ideally, your mind suddenly has aha moments, like
yes,
that's the answer to this problem. Or, this is a way to solve that. Or, I never thought of that before. Here's a solution to this issue that I'm thinking of. So that's just one of the things that can happen, one of the benefits that can happen. I don't know that they advertise it, but that's just one of the benefits that happen.
Great. I know that I've written two books on the brain. One's called Outsmarting the Dementia Epidemic, and the other is called Superbrain: Maximize Your Brain Health for a Better Life. And in one of the chapters in Superbrain, I talk about the different wavelengths of brain activity and what each of the different ones corresponds to. And definitely meditation, when it's in the 8 to 12 hertz waveform, is calming on the autonomic nervous system, and the autonomic nervous system has the sympathetic, parasympathetic sides, and the sympathetic nervous system is the stress response one, which shuts down digestion and it shuts down sex drive, and essentially it prepares your body to the fight or flight response. Either you stand there and fight with a lot of adrenaline in your system, or you run like hell to get away from the bear. I know, I'm pretty sure transcendental meditation and some of the research shows, because there are a lot of brainwave studies that are done, and that the predominant brainwave activity in doing meditation is that similar to being halfway awake and halfway asleep, sort of in that mid-range, although you're very alert, you aren't asleep, but it's that 8 to 12 hertz area, and so I think that may be part of the physiological explanation, or one way to look at the stress reduction response that goes on in the body. And if you've reduced the sympathetic reaction, which shuts down digestion, so you're stopping the digestion stopping process, then you're actually helping digestion and other things of that nature. So it's very interesting that you're supposed to do it before a meal. That's very interesting to me.
So I do it before breakfast, after I wake up in the morning, and then normally before dinner, five or six, whatever.
Are there any other kinds of daily rituals that you do? I know that you've been in business for many years, and a lot of high-level business people have this particular routine that they do. And so what else besides the meditation
I guess affirmations.
Affirmations, excellent. Is that a particular time of the day?
Usually in the morning when I wake up,
Very good. I know that in some of the real estate courses and other things I've been doing lately, it's like writing affirmations or doing gratitudes.
Yes, gratitude, in the morning. Thanking. Thanking God, thanking the universe.
There's a spin-off on that we were talking about before. What was that? There was some special... There was a book that you read...
Affirmations.
Affirmations, that's right.
That's a variation.
Explain to the listening audience about that a little bit.
So, what is the author's name? Noah St. John. Noah St. John.
That was quick.
So Noah St. John is an author whom I've met, and he wrote this book called Affirmations, with an O,
Instead of that IR, affirmation. Right. Uh-huh.
And it's something he discovered in the shower. He was in sales. He wasn't in real estate. He was in sales. And the principle between affirmations is that you program the mind to think positively. Uh-huh. Like, I'm going to become wealthy. I'm going to be healthy. I'm going to acquire something. You know, I'm going to find a parking space, whatever the case may be. And for most people it works, but for some people it doesn't, especially in sales, for example, where it's really critical. So his method is to do something else called the affirmation, which is you ask why questions, W-H-Y, why questions. Why am I so wealthy? Why am I so successful? Why am I so healthy? Why am I going to get great clients this week? So if you ask why questions, then the brain is automatically looking for the answers and looking for ways for the answers to appear in your life. Huh. And of course, you know, you have to determine whether you want to follow it or not, uh-huh. but at least the answers...
Follow the answer that comes
follow the answer that appears.
That question.
Yes, uh-huh. but at least you have the choice to, you know, it appears, which more often... It will appear far more often than it will not, because the brain is automatically searching for the answer, because that's what the brain does.
Right.
When you ask it a question, it looks for the answer, especially men, interestingly.
That makes sense to me somehow,
Because men try to solve more, men are more problem solvers than women in general.
Exactly, yeah. And it's definitely a complaint that women may have when they're talking to someone, they're saying, oh, this is going on, that's going on, and the man will often jump in and try to come up with a solution. But they just want to
vent and to be heard.
Yeah, exactly, what's going on.
So men are from Mars, women are from Venus, yes.
Good
Anyway, so that's the principle behind affirmations.
Uh-huh. And so you have integrated those along with affirmations and gratitudes? Or
I used to, but I now do affirmations because normally they work for me.
All right. Okay.
Most of the time.
Interesting. Yeah. So if someone was, and again, this is Natural Solutions with Dr. J, a podcast where we talk about a wide variety of different subjects, because almost everything can impact one's health, and this is a natural solution to perhaps decision making or difficulties people are struggling to change their life or to realize a dream that they have in their life. And so affirmations, one of the another thing is called a declaration, which is a positive statement done in the present tense as if it's already occurred.
Right.
So it's like, I have massive passive income. Mm. I am a very successful salesperson. Things like that are a way to put that thought into the system as if it's already been actualized. So that's different from the it's maybe about the same as that affirmation, you think? Or?
It's similar, yeah. But yeah, it's programming the mind to think in a certain way.
Uh-huh.
And also the other part of it is gratitude, as you said. If you thank the universe, thank you for bringing me wonderful, lucrative clients this week. Thank you for removing this disease. Actually, you never say disease. Thank you for making me healthy.
All right, right. Because disease is the negative.
Yeah, you never say anything negative. You change it into a positive. Thank you for making me healthy. Thank you for making me walk again. Thank you for curing whatever. Making me feel better, whatever the case may be. So the more you thank the universe, and you can say God or the universe or whatever you want, then that also tends to happen, because, you know, if you're a parent and you think of what your children would do, if your children come up to you and say, oh, thank you, Mom and Dad, for giving me this wonderful present. Thank you so much. I'm so appreciative of this wonderful present that I don't have yet. You as the parent are very likely to want to get the present for the child, because the child is so grateful that the child is expecting it and is already so grateful. So it's the same kind of way that the universe
works. That's a great story.
Works.
I've never heard that put that way. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's those are the so between TM and the gratitude and the affirmations, generally I do those.
And so you have been the CEO and the creator of Auerbach International, which is a translation company.
Mainly.
As well as a new foundation that is to help nonprofits globally.
Yes, to help nonprofits succeed and thrive, because half of them in this country alone and half in the world will fail within 3 to 5 years.
Wow, and that's a statistic about the United States
General. Certainly in the United States, but also pretty much in the world as well.
So are nonprofits different from for-profit businesses as far as their success rate? It seems that there's some, maybe it doesn't matter what, it's just a business.
Business, yes. The difference is, first of all, what people don't realize is that a nonprofit is a business. Many people go into it being very altruistic and very noble and very generous and very kind and wanting to do good things for the whatever the the population, whether it's the homeless or animals or job creation, whatever the case may be, the environment. And so they're very altruistic, and that's fine. But they many of these people also lack business skills, and so the failure rate of nonprofits would be greater because the people coming into it are coming into it with the altruism without knowing the business background to make it work.
Without knowing the details of what it takes to run a business.
Yes, exactly. And a business person, obviously it depends on the kind of business and who it is, but in many cases entrepreneurs who start businesses have a business background or have gone to graduate school or studied business in some way, or maybe you just have a dream and you have mentors, and anyway, they've got some kind of business acumen to make it work more than non-entrepreneurs do.
Yeah. So in your experience, in your experience, you have been running a business for a long time.
29 years,
and so and that's Auerbach International translation, and what. Other things that you're doing?
Global marketing. So we basically help expand clients into countries and cultures. So most of what we do is language translation. We translate anything into 80 languages using the finest human professional linguists. And most of our clients deal with business, anything business related, technical related, or government related.
Wow.
So not a lot of individual, birth certificates or something like that.
Right. That makes sense.
Love letters.
We're here and we're speaking. This isn't a videotaped event or anything. But when you were thinking about that, you just lit up. Your face like got so lit up. What was it about that?
Well, it was just so unusual.
Yeah.
And it's always nice to help love.
Right.
I did not ask and do not know whether the lawyer was married, but he said it was his mistress. So I presume he was. But anyway, and we also just finished a job this past week. We work with clients all over the country. We never meet them, so we don't see them face to face. He wanted us to translate the from the videotapes.
Wow!
Into English so that he could help.
Wow! So these are somewhat
but
unique.
These are very unusual. Yeah, we normally don't do that.
And so the normal things, what kind of examples could you give me?
Brochures, manuals, websites, software apps, videos, commercial, meaning business videos, contracts, press releases, anything business related,
and so reports. Press releases, brochures, things like that that are marketing pieces.
Yeah.
Also have, there's not only just a straight translation going on, but it has to be a cultural translation.
It has to be acculturated properly. Yeah,
right.
That's very critical.
Right.
There's something one of my staff members sent me an article from the New York Times about this subject of how mistranslations cause huge problems. So those of us over a certain age remember the Cold War, which was the huge rivalry between the U.S. and the Soviets, for which we spent billions and billions of dollars each side building nuclear weapons to annihilate each other. And the Cold War was partially prompted, or largely prompted, by Premier Khrushchev of the Soviet Union, I think it was at the United Nations, and I believe it was in the, maybe 1960, I believe, something around there.
Where he took his shoe off or something.
Where he took his shoe off and he banged it on the table and said, "We will bury you." That was the translation. And that it turns out that was a total mistranslation, because what he said in Russian was, "We will overcome you economically." And Americans got incredibly panicked that "we will bury you," which has a very different connotation than "we will overcome you economically."
Oh yeah, huge.
So that minor mistranslation was one of the major causes of the Cold War.
Wow, and even from a health standpoint, the amount of money and stress, like growing up under the nuclear umbrella, I remember in elementary school, we would have these drills. The duck and cover drills, where we'd practice getting underneath our desk to protect us from a nuclear bomb, which would be totally ineffective. But there's
yes,
a lot of stress and fear
that
came out of that mistranslation.
Totally, yeah.
Well, I want everyone in the listening audience could you tell them again what the website is, where you are?
It's Auerbach-intl, so AuerbachIntl.com.
All right, great. And no, on your website, you also have bloopers, or it's like a mistranslation?
We do have some bloopers, yes.
Some of those too.
Yeah, very funny bloopers.
They are very funny. And so if people went to that website, they would be able to see what...
Yeah,
in
one of our, I believe it's in, we have two sections. One is called the Language Services, one is Global Marketing Services.
Uh-huh.
Global Marketing is we help identify countries that people can go into and the strategies to get them there. So on the language side, and I believe it's in the Knowledge Center, there's a section of bloopers.
Uh-huh.
And these are, again, mistranslations into English of funny signs around the world.
All right. To buy your copy of Superbrain, Maximize Your Brain Health for a Better Life, go to superbrain-thebook.com. That's superbrain-thebook.com. Information can also be found on naturalsolutionswithdrj.com.